From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Elmwood, Berkeley.
I live in the Haight.
North-ish, Oakland.
I live in the Western Addition.
Lake Merritt.
The Twin Peaks.
I'm from the Outer Sunset, and I love it.
Coming up, we meet a woman on a mission to make the teaching profession glamorous again.
One problem with my profession is not everybody wants my job. My job should be so desirable.
Then we'll visit a housing complex in Santa Clara designed specifically for teachers.
I can honestly say that if I didn't have the opportunity to live here, I probably wouldn't still be working here. Because on our salaries, although they're great, we can't afford to live in this area. It just is not possible.
And we'll take a peek into a special education class in Oakland.
In my class, it's well over 90% African American boys. I mean, there's something wrong with that.
Our teachers take center stage today on Cross Currents. In 2014, the annual mean wage an American teacher made was a little over $57,000 a year. Teacher pay in the Bay Area is higher than the national average, and salaries vary depending on where you're at. This year, a teacher in Oakland can make up to $83,000 a year, whereas the same teacher can go down to Hillsborough and make up to $124,000. Still, that's not enough to afford housing in most of the Bay Area. So teachers are taking up second jobs, sometimes third jobs, to pay the bills, according to Nineveh Caligari. She heads the San Francisco-based Teacher Salary Project. It's an organization that raises awareness around teacher pay. Caligari says her job is to elevate the teaching profession and make it viable and exciting again. She sat down with KALW's Hanna Baba.
When I was in my 20s, I was teaching, and I had the most fulfilling job in the world. I loved being in the classroom, and I remember literally walking down the hallway thinking, one problem with my profession is not everybody wants my job. My job should be so desirable because it is incredibly fulfilling. I felt that I was holding our democracy together. You know, I was there making sure that young people had a sense of themselves and also a sense of commitment to their own learning and a sense of commitment to participating in our democracy. So I think that I would feel incredibly valued on campus. And I was really struck by the incredible intellect and insight of my colleagues. And I would leave campus and I felt that when I said, oh, you're a teacher, people would give me this good for you sort of response. Mm. And I could read their minds. And I just knew that, one, they didn't think my job was sophisticated, nor did they think my job was important for their own well-being. And I believe that not only are teachers the most important part of a school, but an incredibly important part of our country continuing to have peace and prosperity.
So you felt like your role wasn't appreciated?
Totally not.
So you did what?
So then I co-founded 826 with Dave Eggers in 2002. And in 2003, we had a conversation about teacher salaries and why they were so low. And we both agreed that it was ridiculous. And so in 2003, we invited a friend named Daniel Malthrop, and we did hundreds of interviews around the country of teachers and their incredible commitment to the work, their challenges, but also the financial hardships. So we did, we highlighted great teaching and great teachers, but we also documented teachers who mow lawns. And for example, over in Marin, there's a science teacher at Redwood. His name is Skip, and he pours wines at Plum Jack over the weekend. Like, we think that that's absurd, that teachers should have second jobs.
Why are teachers paid so little?
Well, essentially, we have teacher salaries have stagnated for 40 years. So and when you compare to the cost of living, historically, like, the salary wasn't so bad. Like, people who are our parents' friends, they could afford to buy a house and they could establish a middle class life. So what's happened is teacher salaries have literally stayed the same for 40 years over, you know, and everyone else has gone up. And so the value of the money that you get is just far diminished, and you can't survive.
You profile a number of teachers. So one of them is Corey O'Rourke. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about Corey?
Corey is a fantastic teacher with a master's degree. She is really passionate about literature, and she struggles financially, and she worries about every single paycheck, and she lives check to check, and she moved recently and had a really hard time finding a new home. And the really painful part for me is that she's been driving Lyft to make ends meet. And it's not against Lyft. It's the point is that I think she should be able to survive without having to drive a taxi.
So let's hear a little bit.
I'm hustling. I'm doing every bit of extra tutoring job, Lyft, every little stipended extra project that's here at school. I'm trying to pick those up. I see kids that are in the gap. and that I feel definitely would be more successful if they sat in a room, in a school, in a city, in a state, and in a country that really valued what was happening in that room. We're looking at students and we're trying to say to them, your education matters, your learning matters, but the people that we entrust to give that to you, we're not going to value.
That's high school teacher Corey O'Rourke talking about being a teacher today. That is part of the Teacher Salary Project. And with me is Ninavik Haligari to talk to me about the project. So is it common that teachers around the Bay Area are taking second jobs like driving Lyft?
Yeah, nationally, the national numbers are over 30% have secondary income. So that means they're tutoring or monitoring an SAT on a Saturday, working summer school. Another 30% have the more startling jobs like teaching aerobics, mowing lawns, painting houses. You know, we've talked to teachers who do a billion of these different jobs. One of the people that we featured in our longer film is a guy named Eric Benner, who works at Floor & Decor in the evenings and then on the weekends. So he's actually a warehouse guy, like hauling these huge, huge, incredibly enormous boxes and housing supply items. And that's what he's doing when he's not a middle school teacher.
So let's talk about pay. On your website, you have a map of the Bay Area, Bay Area teachers' salaries, starting and ending salaries. Great variation from around the Bay. Mm-hmm. Between, you know, a place like Oakland, for example, where the starting salary is $44,000. And for example, in Menlo Park, where it's $57,000. What strikes you about these numbers?
I think the San Francisco and the Oakland numbers are absurd and unacceptable. And by the way,
the San Francisco numbers are starting 49,000 and ending 86.
So I think it's very, very painful. One of the interviews, I have another movie coming out about a young woman named Lainey, and she teaches at James Lick Middle School.
Where is that?
James Lick is in Noe Valley. Mm-hmm. It's a public middle school in Noe Valley, and she is a fantastic world-class teacher. And she said that she would literally consider it irresponsible to have a baby in San Francisco because she couldn't afford diapers. So the only option is to take the $20,000 commute, which is what San Francisco teachers call moving to Redwood or Menlo or Hillsborough or Marin, is called the $20,000 commute. So everyone knows that once you need to actually pull pieces together, you leave. And I think it's a matter of prioritization. Over the past 10 years that I've been working on this, another sort of knee-jerk response that people have is that we can't afford this. I assure you we can afford this. And what we're doing is we're spending, you know, in California, we spend $13 billion in correctional services. So we spend the money. We just don't put it in the right place, and we need to put that money up front. And there's a lot of different ways to raise salaries in different districts around the country, and we try and document those stories. Denver, Helena, D.C., places have raised salaries and they've done it in different ways. And I think that one of the roles the Teacher Salary Project can play is to shine a light on where things are going well. San Jose, for example, has got a great contract, very progressive, very collaborative. Teachers are getting more financial support. And Redwood City, there's Menlo, there's Hillsborough, Palo Alto. So those are places where people have mobilized and they hold on to their talent. They train their talent and they hold on to them. And San Francisco needs to follow suit.
That's Ninavik Haligari, founder of the Teacher Salary Project. She spoke with KALW's Hana Baba. This is Cross Currents. I'm Ben Trefney. Because of low salaries and high costs of living, teacher turnover has become a big problem. And recent reports show fewer teaching credentials are being issued in California, and they've been in steady decline for more than a decade. Some city governments in the Bay Area are trying to make it easier for teachers to stay here. Just last month, San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee announced a plan to build a 100-unit housing complex just for public school teachers. Oakland is considering similar measures. But the Santa Clara School District, they're ahead of the game. KALW's Angela Johnston has the story.
It's the end of the day at Laurelwood Elementary School. The kids in Katie Hauser's kindergarten class are getting a quick lesson about isopods before they clean up and go home.
So ice is the kind of stuff you find in the freezer, but isopods, even though it has that sound at the beginning, it's not ice like you find in a freezer.
It's the end of the week at Laurelwood Elementary School. The kids in Katie Hauser's kindergarten class are getting a quick lesson about isopods, those little roly-poly bugs, before they clean up and go home. After school today, Hauser will teach reading lessons to first graders. Then she'll hop in her car and drive 5 minutes to her apartment.
So actually, I live literally down the street from my school, so it's really nice. I stop through one stoplight on my way there.
This short commute would be a dream for most people, but it's especially rare for public school teachers who are paid a lot less than some of their Silicon Valley neighbors. Teacher salaries at Santa Clara Unified start at around $55,000, but according to the last census, the South Bay has one of the highest concentrations of people earning about $200,000 or more in the country. The new Apple campus is being constructed just around the corner from Hauser's school and her apartment, and this type of growth makes it pretty tough for Hauser's fellow teachers to afford to rent or buy a home in their school district.
I have a friend that lives in South San Jose, and she commutes to San Mateo every day. And then I have another friend that owns a home in Gilroy and commutes up for work every day, just because that's where it's more affordable.
What makes it possible for Hauser, though, is something her district invested in when the Bay Area economy was booming, just like it is now. Casa del Maestro, or House of the Teacher. Jennifer Derrico is the public information officer for the district.
Casa del Maestro is a district-owned teacher housing project in Santa Clara Unified. It allows our newest teachers to be able to afford to live and work in the same school district.
When the complex was built in 2002, Casa del Maestro was the first of its kind in the state. Derrico says below-market rent at the 71 and two-bedroom townhomes help provide relief when teachers are renting, but also after they move out.
And the hope is that they'll move on to buy homes with our Teacher Mortgage Assistance Program.
Hopefully in the school district. Many districts in the state and even across the country own land. San Francisco Unified owns a few vacant lots, a dog park, and some of the dirt underneath the Nordstrom at Westfield Shopping Center. Casa del Maestro was built on land the Santa Clara School District owned, and it's managed by an external foundation.
It pays for itself, so we're fortunate that we don't have to charge more for the apartments in order to keep them running.
When the school district built the facility, turnover for the first group of teachers to live in Casa del Maestro dropped below average. The typical rent for a two-bedroom with a garage at the complex right now? $1,500 a month. That's about half of what it would cost to rent a similar apartment in the neighborhood. Kindergarten teacher Katie Hauser lives in one of those two bedrooms with her husband.
It's the spare bathroom, dining room, living room, kitchen.
They're fixing up the spare room and expecting a baby in the new year.
I can honestly say that if I didn't have the opportunity to live here, I probably wouldn't still be working here because on our salaries, although they're great, we can't afford to live in this area. It just is not possible. This is the master bedroom. This is one of my favorite parts. Walk-in closet, which is great. I just don't like sharing it. Another bathroom.
From her porch, she shows me palm trees that line the entranceway. They lead to a big rec room in the center of the complex.
So this is our rec room, and they let us rent it out for free. It's just a good size. A lot of people use it like for their staff holiday party, or I had my birthday party here. People have had baby showers here, wedding showers.
One of the best things about living here, Hauser says, is living with other teachers.
Not to say that we wouldn't want to ever live with people that aren't teachers, but you know, having such a stressful job, it's a nice place to come home to because everybody kind of has the same common courtesy.
And she says she's a better teacher because of where she lives.
I don't know if I would feel as connected if I were commuting from, you know, say the North Bay to come down every day to do my job.
There are a limited number of spaces at Casa del Maestro, so there's a very long wait list. Teachers can only stay 7 years before they have to move out and give their spot to another teacher. Hauser's been there for just over six.
And I'm pregnant, and I'm due in January, so we're kind of, you know, freaking out a little bit, trying to figure out what our next step is, but we'll see. We've kind of looked outside the area. It's just hard to want to go outside the area when we both have great jobs and we love them.
Hauser will continue teaching wherever she lives, but that's not true for many of her colleagues.
There's a teacher shortage, and I think a lot of that has to do with what we get paid to do our job. I think what's happening a lot of the times now is that teachers can't afford to be teachers because they can't afford to live here.
In Santa Clara, I'm Angela Johnston for Cross Currents.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Ben Trefney, in for Hannah Baba. In Oakland, special education teachers and their classrooms are possibly facing big changes. Just last week, tensions were running high at an Oakland school board meeting with protests over Superintendent Antoine Wilson's proposal to move special ed students into general education classrooms. About 10% of all California students are enrolled in some kind of special ed program. We're looking at how some of them get their education by stepping into a classroom.
Yo, think of something that just doesn't exist to say, why not? Come on. All the things that you use on the daily didn't always exist, man. It's crazy.
This song is part of an East Oakland teacher's vocabulary lesson for her class at Elmhurst Community Prep School.
I'm like a ship that's lost, can't navigate. Can't find my favorite passage on the page.
In 2013, reporter Christine Stelakis joined special ed teacher Stevie Evans, who, after finishing her flowcabulary lesson, shared her story with us.
Stevie Evans has been a special education teacher for 4 years.
I feel like when I first started this job, I was just thrown into the lion's den. They're just like, all right. I mean, I came into teaching through Teach for America, and they really prepare you well for teaching. For a special day class, I don't know if anyone could prepare you for that. I mean, that is just a different ballgame. I just remember going in there and feeling like I had to survive. It was like a matter of me surviving. So it was like, how do I survive? Like, how do I get, you know, the kids to be able to learn?
We're at Elmhurst Community Prep, a small middle school in East Oakland.
Michaela, read them together on three. Okay, when I point them.
Okay? I want to do it by myself.
One.
Kids come to special education for really diverse reasons. Their challenges can range from autism to severe emotional disturbances. Just within Stevie's class, she has kids with ADHD, auditory and processing deficits, and intellectual disability.
We're like this little dysfunctional family. And sometimes we get along great.
But like, I've got kids who don't have phonemic awareness, which is something you develop in kindergarten. And then I have kids who can read fluently with ease, you know, and at like a fifth grade or a sixth grade text. So they're on radically different reading levels. So I am not gonna teach them the same thing, period.
What these kids do have in common is that general education does not quite work for them. And Stevie sees her purpose as leveling the playing field, not just for these kids during school, but for their lives in general.
When I think about how do we change things and how do we empower people and how do we get rid of poverty, I mean, I see education as being number one. And although I'm not at the top down, I'm, you know, at the bottom, and I love it. Like, that's where you gotta roll up your sleeves and just get it done.
Getting this done on a day-to-day can be hard. Special day classes have kids of all ages. Stevie's range from 11 to 15 years old. And on top of this, she's also teaching content from all subjects, content usually taught by five or more different middle school teachers. This changes the nature of Stevie's teaching entirely.
When you hear the word in the video, what are you going to do? Who wants to put their arms up?
Nobody.
Okay.
Stevie isn't alone in all of this. Special needs teachers often have assistants throughout the day. Here, it's Sherry Jackson. She grew up in the neighborhood around Elmhurst.
I graduated from this school. My whole family didn't grab my kids. Everybody. It's a pretty rough neighborhood.
It's not that there isn't a lot of community here, she says, but there is violence.
You know, the shooting, it's a lot of that goes around here.
Last year, Oakland's homicide rate was the highest it's been since 2006, more than 130 murders. 18 of those occurred within a mile of Elmhurst Community Prep. 2 occurred within a block of this school of 352 kids.
They might be explosive one day. And I'm like, they're just a hot mess. And then I talk to them. And it's like, well, my uncle got shot yesterday. I'm mad.
And Stevie's class reflects other issues that exist outside of Elmhurst's walls.
My school now, it's about 70% Latino, 30% African-American. But in my class, it's well over 90% African-American boys. I mean, there's something wrong with that.
The makeup of Stevie's class is a stark example of a national reality. Black children are more than twice as likely to be identified as having a disability as white students, and they're more than 3 times more likely than all other students to be classified as having mental retardation. This pattern has been observed for decades.
It's not that black boys are just prone to have learning disabilities or dumber than other races. It's like, that's ludicrous. We've already proven that that's not what it is. So what is it then? It's something that's institutionalized and so systematized that people don't see it.
This problem has been discussed by groups ranging from the U.S. Department of Education to the NAACP. In fact, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act now includes a provision which allows the federal government to monitor and manage this over-identification of minority students in special ed. Stevie thinks it's not enough.
You know, it's like, you know that there's injustices in our society, but then you get in someplace that just highlights all of it, and you're just like, whoa. In your desk!
The day is a constant stream of seating assignments, teams, and exercises. There is absolutely no downtime, just high expectations. Even the act of saying good job is turned into something she refers to as a positive reinforcement structure. When the class does something good, like sitting in their seats quietly during a transition, she starts placing individual marbles into a jar.
25, right here. If you don't know one of those words, ask me now, because we're about to play a game.
You have to have a really well-structured environment in order to meet all their needs. It's amazing because the kids really thrive when there's structure, when there's things that they can count on, when it's really consistent and predictable. It lowers their anxiety.
So you won't be able to hear me giving points, but during this time you can earn points or lose points. Go ahead and close your eyes. This is your time to relax your mind.
Even though Stevie got into this work to fight for social justice, she plans to continue teaching for the rest of her life because of a newer passion, her love for her kids.
And take your first really deep breath in. Breathe in.
In East Oakland, I'm Christine Stelakis for Cross Currents.
And breathe out.
This story originally aired in May 2013.
Inhale. And exhale.
We've heard from the Bay Area school teachers. Now we'd love to hear from you. Email us at news@kalw.org, or you could call us at 415-264-7106. That's 415-264-7106. Because of you, we can proudly say we are listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Geraldine Asu, Hana Baba, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Tammy Drummond, Angela Johnston, Casey Miner, James Rollins, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by Ted Muldoon. Line producer was Liz Mack. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Our managing producer is Julie Kane. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet.
I just talked to my baby on the telephone. She said, stop what you're doing and come on home. I can't hold out.
Today's local music is by Marina Krause. Her blues and jazz vocals are being compared with legends such as Coco Taylor and Etta James. Marina Krause and friends will perform Friday at Armando's in downtown Martinez, starting about 8 p.m. For Cross Currents, I'm Ben Treffen.
Babe, you know I love you. You're my heart's desire. I love you, pretty baby, and I hate to see you cry. I can't hold out. I can't hold out.